We're joined in the studio by Mary Beebe and Sandy Tanzer, and they're part of the Vote Yes Committee working to help pass the operating levy referendum for Cook County Independent School District 166, also known as ISD 166. Good morning, Mary. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming in. The levy referendum, which is on the ballot November 2nd, has been in the news a fair amount lately, so most of our listeners are probably aware of it. But for those who may not be aware, our school system is facing a budget shortfall and uncertain state funding, and is asking voters to approve an operating levy that will raise about $375,000 a year for the next 5 years. And if it passes, it means that a property owner's taxes will go up about $67 a year per $100,000 of taxable market value. So that is the referendum that's on the ballot November 2nd. Now, both of you are volunteering your time and effort to help pass the referendum and to help convince the community to get behind it. Can you talk about why you feel it's important? Let's start with Sandy.
Well, education for all children is just critical. And this levy, I believe, just tackles the most significant issues that the district needs funding for. And, of course, one of them is to keep class sizes at the kindergarten to second grade level at a reasonable level. So that, to me, is early and intense is certainly critical for young children. Okay. And all children later then.
Yeah. And you have a background in early childhood education?
Yes, that 38 years of work with young children. And I know the quality of schools. I've been in hundreds of schools and thousands of classrooms. And I've been volunteering at Sawtooth. And what I see there is many exceptional teachers working just very intensely and appropriately with all children.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Mary, why do you feel it's important to pass this levy referendum?
Well, I have to say all children are important, and if we don't step up to the bat and help the children of Cook County out, they're never going to be able to compete with the children in larger metropolitan schools. I would like to just piggyback on what Sandy said. We have exceptional schools. We have an exceptional school here. I taught for 34 years, and I thought I taught in the greatest school in Wisconsin. I was lucky enough to have Greg Mortensen's mother as my principal, and she was outstanding. But I come to Cook County and sub, and I see the kids here have exceptional teachers, and to have those teachers taken away because we're not willing to give $1, $2 a week for these kids is very sad. Our children are our future, and we need to vote yes.
Okay. The two of you, along with other members of the Vote Yes Committee, have been working very hard. And can you just tell us some of the stuff that you've been doing to try to promote and to raise awareness about the need for this referendum? Sandy?
Well, my primary focus has been making calls. Marion has also been making lots of calls. I think I've probably called about 1,000 folks, not gotten answers at all of those, but 600 or 700 maybe. And it's been an amazing experience. I'd just like to let you know a few of the comments from parents. A 35-year-old father said, "Good luck, it's so important." Another 40-year-old mom said, "They have other family members and we'll ask them to vote." Yes. And then a 50-year-old father said, "We strongly support the levy. Our children are so important." Just to let you know a little bit about what seniors are saying, a 60-year-old man said, "We'll vote for it." And a husband and wife were both on the phone together on extensions and said, "Yes, for the children, it's so important." And another 70-year-old said, "Yes, and we will hand out the website information to others. We know many Minnesota districts are having levies," and on and on. Folks mm-hmm. have just been amazing.
So you've gotten positive response?
A great deal of positive response, yes, indeed. Okay. Rarely a negative hang up or anything like that.
Okay. Mary, what have you been doing and the rest of the committee been doing?
Well, along with the calling, I also have been painting signs, some larger signs, and helping get signs out. And I have not, I think one-on-one contact with people is really, really important. And, you know, just going out and asking people, you know, if they will help. I have to thank Denny Fitzpatrick. He designed a sign and T-shirts, and he's got them out in the community. Betsy Bowen, I have to thank her. She let us use her studio to do calls there. So just getting out and talking to people and letting them know. Also, I just wanted to say I have also many great comments from people, and one of them that stands out was from an elderly gentleman, and he was so cheerful when I called him later in the evening. He says, I'm 83 years old. I'm a staunch Democrat, and I always support public schools. And it was just so, it's so great to hear that positive response.
Okay. Well, you mentioned signs, T-shirts, buttons. Where can people go if they want to get any of those items, lawn signs and things like that?
The lawn signs, you can call me. My number is 370-9707. I'll get them to you as quickly as I can. I have large signs, and we have smaller signs for your yard. Also, if you want to volunteer, please call 387-1729.
And who's that?
That would be my neighbor, Mary Sanders, but she'll work mm-hmm. with me on that, too.
And are you still looking for volunteers to help?
We are looking for volunteers. There are so many people that are still undecided, and if they don't get to the community meeting tonight at 6:30 at the ACA, we are more than willing to have community meetings at our homes, and so we would like to help set that up. We also have postcards that need to get out, and for that last push on calls, we would like to have people just to remind them to vote, and if they need to get to the polls or they need help in any way.
Okay, so if anyone wants to volunteer to assist the Vote Yes Committee, they can call 387-1729. And once again, if you're looking for yard signs, you can call Mary at 370-9707. You did mention the community meeting tonight. This is the last referendum informational meeting that'll be held around the county. And once again, that's at the ACA tonight at 6:30 p.m.
Could I make one more comment?
Absolutely.
There's also wonderful information on the website, cookcountyschools.org. And you go to the left side, and there are little blue links, and there's one at the bottom that says operating levy. And there's just tons of excellent, very detailed information. And by Minnesota law, it has to be informational, so it's truly informational. Also on that website is information from the accountants on how to work with the assessment and the potential, what the cost would be.
Okay, great. Yeah, you can plug in your...
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Well done.
How much your property is worth, and then you can see how much your taxes will go up, which is, once again, I think $67 a year per $100,000 of taxable market value. So once again, the operating levy referendum for ISD 166 is on the ballot November 2nd. We've been speaking with two of the members of the Vote Yes Committee, Mary Beebe, Sandy Tanzer. I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and joining me now in the studio, got WTIP's own Kara Thomas and a host of visitors.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Well, on November 2nd, voters in Cook County will go to the polls to vote on an operating levy referendum for our school system. And for those who may not know, an operating levy is a voter-approved property tax increase that raises money for a public school system. And public education in Minnesota, according to some, is in crisis. State education funding has dropped nearly 14% since 2003, while costs have continued to rise. And the state of Minnesota has shifted, delayed, and reduced funding for public schools. More than 90% of the 337 school districts in the state now rely on property tax levies, and they have them in place. Cook County has also seen a steady decline in enrollment, triggering further reductions in state aid. On November 2nd, there will be 75 school districts in Cook County's position asking local property tax payers to increase their property taxes. Yesterday morning, we spoke with two volunteers from the Vote Yes Committee, and they're working to get out the vote and help pass this referendum. And this morning, we have two people in the studio who have a different view of the referendum, and they'll be conducting their own meeting, informational meeting, tonight. And I want to welcome Michael O'Phalen and Susie Warren to the WTIP studios. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Hi, and thanks for having us on.
Thanks. Okay. Glad to be here.
Michael, you're both parents and you're both business owners here in Cook County.
That's correct. I'm a parent of two kids in the school and two that aren't in ISD 166, as well as the owner and operator, Cascade Lodge and Restaurant and Solbach and Resort.
Okay. And Susie, you also are a parent and business owner here in Cook County.
Well, I'm a parent. My business actually isn't, I don't have property here in Cook County. My husband runs East Bay Suites, so that affects his business. So, but I have three kids in Cook County and one graduated last year.
Okay. Now, you both have come out against the referendum. Could you talk a little bit about your reasons for opposing it? Can we start with Michael, please?
Sure. Well, I personally am opposed to it, mainly from a property tax increase standpoint. We've seen our taxes increase fourfold in the last 5 years, and this adds another $2,100 to our businesses in tax burden. That has an effect both on our business, which is already very, very tight, if I'm sure most people are aware of the situation with tourism in the county, hitting its low point last year and very slightly recovering this year. Tourism employs 80% of the county, and our employees have seen cut after cut after cut in hours and wages, and it has a direct effect on our staffs and on our businesses, which are very, very tight. And I feel like it's just too much to ask of them to continue to endure tax increases and to keep putting more and more burdens on small businesses. It's just getting to be to the point where it's hard to do business here. Mm-hmm. And then I don't see, tax increases for zero improvement in school performance to me is a lot to shoulder. It doesn't make sense to me. And then last, I think it's a stunning example of political failure. It's the school board asking the tax makers to make up for its lack of judgment and good decision making. This decline in enrollment is no surprise to anybody. It's been going on for years and we haven't dealt with it. We've put it off and put it off and put it off. And now they want to put it off some more. And I just can't tolerate that as a taxpayer anymore, to see my political leaders continuing to fail me in their role as stewards of my tax money.
Okay, so you're basically saying it's our school board's fault and the administration's fault that we're in this position?
I think they've not had the leadership to take the steps necessary to deal with the declining enrollment situation. In absolute dollars, the school funding hasn't dropped from 07 to 08 to 08, 09. So,
it hasn't dropped, but it hasn't gone up, right?
Right.
So then, but inflation continues to go up.
Right, but we have a lot fewer students over the same period of time. We have 120 less kids in the school. Mm-hmm. Guess what? If I have 120 less customers, I make less money. Mm-hmm. So we need to find out how to deliver these services to our kids. And I'm for the school, and I'm for the teachers, and I'm for our kids, but we need to find ways to deliver the services to these kids in a way that meets what money is available.
Okay, so we need to live within our means.
Pretty much. That's
no matter what the cost, really, to the children. I mean, go ahead.
Well, I think that's interesting that you phrase it that way. Yeah, this is Susie Warren. And I am, first of all, I want to say that when you say we're against the levy, I want to say we're for education. We're for all of the positive things that the school wants. We are deeply committed to our kids, and If anyone knows me, they know that I'm the loud one in the football stands. I'm always there supporting my kids. So I believe in education. I also believe that there's some awesome teachers up there at Cook County, and I know that they're trying, and I appreciate that very much. I think that for me, I look at this as a philosophical issue that we're having. The levy, to me, has two problems. The first one is that I think it's a Band-Aid over a sucking chest wound. I think we have a major problem in our funding, and putting this Band-Aid of this levy over this is only going to postpone the inevitable. See, what's happening is that we have less and less students all the time. So we have less and less funds coming in. And so the gap is going to continue to widen between how much money that we have and how much money that the kids are bringing in and how much money we supposedly need to run the school. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have legitimate reasons for their needs. I think Beth Schwartz made an excellent presentation, and I thought, wow, you know, walking out of there, I'd be for it. But I have to look deeper than that, and I think that's why I'm here today, is I feel like we need to look at the whole picture, not just the positives, but there's some serious cons that are a part of this, and if we want to make an informed decision, we need to see the whole thing. Okay. So the first one would be the Band-Aid, the idea that just by putting more money into the system for these next 5 years, we're going to solve the problems. But the real problem is that we continue to have less and less money, and if we're continually raising our budget, then where are we going to come up with that money, say, in 5 years when the gulf is even larger?
So it's a problem with how schools are funded?
It's a problem, I believe, with how we're managing the current funding that we have.
On a local level?
On a local level, mm-hmm. And how we are, trying to say, well, we're just going to solve the problems by adding more money to the mix. Which brings me to my second issue. I actually don't think that this is going to accomplish the educational goals that we want for our kids. I actually think it's going to do the opposite. And the reason I think that is because I believe that it's going to, well, it's kind of a long process. Are you ready for it, or do you want to wait for it?
Oh, no, I'd like to hear it.
Okay. Well, consider this. The $200 or $300 that it's going to cost the average taxpayer because of their home is not a huge deal. I mean, frankly, most of us could probably say, oh, that's just fine. We could probably cough off that. I certainly would pay that and more to educate my kids, and have. There's many times where I've actually pulled my kids out of school, homeschooled them, paid for their homeschool education and my property tax for the public school education. That's not my issue. My issue is the people, the businesses in this town that are going to be taxed as a result of it. Their tax is $2,000, $3,000 or more. And what happens is that doesn't just affect them, that affects their employees. And suddenly those employees are making $50 less a month or losing their job. Suddenly that $200 a month that they would have been willing to pay has disappeared. And suddenly that becomes their grocery bill that they're paying. Now, let's say that they say, well, we can find another job. They go out and they find another job. What does that mean? It means less hours at home. It means less hours helping their kids with homework, preparing their kids for the school day. And a kid that walks in unprepared for the school day is a kid that's unruly, that has to be spent more time with by the teacher, who needs more paras to help them catch up. And suddenly we are having a breakdown in education because we are losing the flow. See, it all snowballs when we look at the big picture.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. And so my challenge is to say there's only so much we can, I can only work so hard. I only have so many hours in the day. So if that's the case, then if I'm running a household, I'd say, I only have this much money. I know that I have to spend time with my kids. So, and I know that I have to earn money. So there's a balance there, and okay, I have to figure out what that balance is.
Okay. Well, let's bring the discussion back to the school system and the kids themselves. The district has said that they've basically cut as much as they can. Really, I think $866,000in the last couple of years is what they've cut from the budget, according to them. And that now they're left with the bare bones, and that they, if the levy doesn't pass, things like sports may have to be cut, after school activities, extracurricular electives will have to be cut. And you have children in sports, I think, Michael. I know that a friend of mine coached one of your sons in basketball last year.
Sure.
And you, Peter Warren, is your son. Mm-hmm. So how would you feel if they couldn't participate in sports as a result of the levy not passing? Michael?
Well, first of all, I think you know, I've done an extensive analysis on the school spending. And the two things that the proponents of this tax increase love to throw out is transportation, nurses, and sports. These are trivial items in our budget. That's not where the money goes. The money, a large amount of money goes to debt service, a large amount of money goes to instruction, a fair amount of money goes to capital equipment purchases, fancy boards that are smart and devices that talk into the classroom and this kind of thing. This is nonsense to talk about cutting sports. Sports are what keeps a lot of kids in the school. It keeps... It's the unifying thing in the school. When we go to a football game and we're sitting mm-hmm. around with all the other parents and teachers of this school, it's awesome. It's what makes the school for a lot of us.
So you don't think that they're being quite honest when they say that that might
no,
have to be cut?
No, I think it's a smokescreen. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think it affects all of our emotions in a way that gets us to say, gosh, if they're going to cut football... You know, I have to vote for the levy or they're going to cut my football team. And it's ridiculous. No one's going to cut the football team.
Okay, so you're saying that they're being dishonest.
I'm not saying they're being dishonest. I'm saying they're throwing that out to scare people.
Okay. Well, I'd like to look at the broader picture just mm-hmm. for a moment. We have a few minutes left and get your reaction to the state of education in the state of Minnesota. The fact that 90% of other school districts already have levies in place and rely on them, and that 75 school districts are in the same position we're in, going to their taxpayers to ask for a levy increase. So by blaming the local school administration and the school board for the position that we're in, how does that fit with the big picture? Yeah,
first
ahead.
Of all, I don't think we're blaming the school board. I think that they have legitimately tried to figure out this problem. What I'm asking them to do is to be more creative in finding answers rather than saying, let's just raise taxes and throw more money at it. Maybe there are some other solutions we could take a look at. For example, in addressing the sports issue that you just brought up, or some of the other things that they wanted to eliminate, like the co-curricular spending and you know, the EFCE spending and some of these kind of things. Well, maybe there's a different alternative. See, we spend a lot of money on extra kind of things at our school, which are awesome for our kids. But what we're missing is that we have an entire community here. We live in one of the richest, most talented communities in the nation. We have artists, we have engineers, we have woodworkers, we have chefs. Why are we not utilizing our community to help teach our kids? When I was growing up, we had something called a work release program where the kids would go to school learning the basics for the first part of the class. And then those that wanted to have a trade would go out and they would learn a trade with a local employer. Now, why can't we do something like that where we bring in some local people and we help our children in that way? Doesn't mean that we have to, you know, we don't have to pour money into this situation. Why don't we get creative and say, will you help us? I know for one, this week alone, I've talked to four people who have tried to volunteer at the school and they've been turned down. We've been turned down for cheerleading programs at the school. We've been turned down for people that want to help with math at the school. We've been turned down with a number of people that want to volunteer. Yes, we have, and I can find them. And so the fact is that it's frustrating for people in the community that want to help to not be able to help.
There's one sitting right next to Susie. That's me. I was turned down for 2 years straight in helping kids with math. I am a 21-year degreed engineer. I know math. I've used it to solve real-world problems. I think I could offer the kids some help.
So that's
Two
why we're
in. 2 years I signed up to mm-hmm. help out, was never mm-hmm. called. The third year I was finally called last minute to help with math masters. Mm-hmm. Way late in the program. One of the things I'd propose the new school board do is hire a volunteer coordinator. The school has tons of talent available to them at no cost, tons of people that want to help but are not being organized in an appropriate way.
Okay.
So instead
Michael,
of raising
something? Michael, you're going to be giving a presentation tonight at the Senior Center, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Can you just give us the information about that?
Sure. The title of my presentation is just Where Does All the Money Go? It's not intended to be in direct opposition to the referendum. It's rather meant to be informative about where does the money go towards our kids? I mean,
okay.
How is it spent? how do we compare to other districts in the state? How do we compare to other districts in northeastern Minnesota? And is the money being spent in a way that gives us, say, a performance level in our education, educationally to our kids, that is really what we're calling excellence?
Okay. Well, that's all we have time for. Once again, we've been speaking with Michael O'Phelan and Suzy Warren, and they're going to be at a meeting tonight at the Senior Center. It starts at 7 o'clock, is that correct?
Yeah, 7 to 9.
7 to 9. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.